from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The game is over. And we're headed to overtime. On 95.7, the game.
Well, the game isn't quite over just yet, although it's very, very close to being over. Welcome into overtime here on 95.7. The game, we got a little less than 2 minutes to go down in Santa Clara. But because the results of this game does not matter all that much, we figure we might as well hop on, talk you through the final couple of minutes, and then we'll, of course, bring you everything you need to know about what happened in the 49ers' second preseason game of the year. Currently, they're up by 6 over the New Orleans Saints. You've got third stringers, you've got fourth stringers, you got guys hoping to just make the roster on the field right now, but there's plenty to be excited about, plenty to be a little bit frustrated by as well for the 49ers as they open up their home slate in 2024. But welcome into overtime. It's Mark Randy with you alongside Sterling Bennett for a second consecutive preseason week. Sterling, good evening. Hope you had a good weekend, and it'll be a little bit better if the Niners just close it out and get the W today.
Preseason wins matter here, Mark. They matter. I will tell you this. My week was not good. I was out there doing yard work, mowing the lawn. I got myself a case of the sun poisoning. I was in bed all week. But I'll tell you what, watching that red and gold on that field back in Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, for the first time since the NFC Championship game, got me pumped up. Seeing Brock Purdy out there got me pumped up, Mark. What are we, 3 weeks away from week one against the Jets? I'm ready. Get me some actual football, because the Niners, they're my life!
Yeah, 22 days away from Niners regular season football. 3 weeks from tomorrow, it's Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. That's coming up, again, a little more than 3 weeks, and we'll, of course, have it for you. Another edition of Overtime on 95.7 The Game come week number one on Monday evening. And we can now tell you that the 49ers have forced a turnover on downs in Santa Clara, inside of Levi Stadium. The Saints have a couple of timeouts. They'll probably use them and try to, maybe they won't use them, and they'll just wave the white flag on this overtime game, because despite what you said, Sterling, I'm not so sure the Saints and the Niners really care all that much about wins and losses in the preseason, but it does seem like the Niners will get out of this one with a preseason win. They'll improve to 1-1 in the 2024 preseason, and while maybe you do care about wins and losses in the preseason, Sterling, I know
back
you will.
Back to 500, baby.
I know you will agree that while wins and losses matter, what matters more is performances of individual players, and there's a number of players that we can point to, and we'll get into it all here over the next 2 hours on Overtime, and you can join us, shoot us a text, give us a call, 888-957-9570. For starters, Sterling, we saw the first edition of Brock Purdy in 2024. He played the entire first quarter, which I don't know how you felt, was a little bit more than I was expecting. Maybe I was expecting like 10 plays. He played 11, but maybe you were hoping that those 10 plays would come on one drive, or at worst, two drives, but he got 11 plays in over three drives because the offense did nothing with him on the field. 11 plays, 12 yards, but the Niners played four quarterbacks. Each one played one full quarter, including Brock Purdy. It wasn't the best Brock Purdy has ever looked, that's for sure, but he's also playing with very few other starters around him on the offensive side of the football, Sterling, and going up against, for the most part, New Orleans' number one team. Brock Purdy, not great, but we're not going to make a big deal of it because it is just preseason football and his first few drives of 2024.
It definitely wasn't pretty. It was honestly really bad. Again, to be fair, no Christian McCaffrey, no Kyle Juszczyk, no Debo, no Ayuk, no Kittle, no Trent, no Aaron Banks. And I could care less about the incompletions. I can care less about maybe some miscommunication or him trying to force a throw downfield. What I cared about was him taking hit after hit behind a bad offensive line play. And I get it. Kyle wants to get his guys out there, loosen them up. But it's like, okay, maybe one drive, maybe two. But after he takes the first hit, it's like, okay, I'm calling three runs, and then we're going to punt, and then it's going to be over with. Like, you cannot afford to lose Brock Purdy. But then again, Joshua Dobbs was out there balling tonight, looking like quarterback two easily on the depth chart. But for the starter's sake, get back to work, because it was not very good.
Yeah, the biggest concern is Brock Purdy taking a couple of hits. And I think, if you ask a football player about that, and I'm sure you asked Brock about it, and maybe he will be post-game if he's made available tonight. I'm not so sure if he will be, but whenever he is asked about today's game, I'm sure he will be asked about the hits, and I can guarantee you what he's going to say is, well, I need those hits because I'm going to get hit in the regular season, and you kind of need to get that feeling back. I mean, you spend the entire training camp, you spend the vast majority of the preseason, aside from maybe a few drives that you play in preseason games, where you're wearing a different color jersey than everybody else, and you cannot get hit. If someone lays a fingertip on you, they get yelled at by the coaching staff and get yanked off the field. Like, you do kind of need to get introduced to that kind of football again, to real football, where you can get hit. But everything that you're saying is also 100% true, Sterling, because the disaster scenario for the 49ers is you lose Brock Purdy in a meaningless game in the preseason, and then suddenly your season, which was looking so bright and still is, but if there was, God forbid, something happened to Brock Purdy in the preseason, you know, you could be excited about Josh Dobbs and the way that he looked, but let's not pretend that he's going to be as good as Brock Purdy, who was an MVP finalist a season ago. That is the disaster scenario. So if you're looking for a positive out of Brock Purdy and what was a relatively uneven performance through three drives, 11 plays, 12 yards, it was Sterling. That he did not get hurt, and he escapes preseason week two totally healthy.
There was a play after he was returning from the UCL surgery where Clelin Ferrell came around the outside during practice and smacked the ball out of his hand.
I remember that.
And everybody was like, oh my goodness, Brock, are you okay? And he was like, guys, I'm fine. Relax.
Clelin Ferrell needs to get cut right now.
Which, good luck in Washington, Clelin, but still. To your point, I'm sure Brock was like, do I want to get hit in the preseason? No, but I'll take my lumps now to get myself ready. It's almost like when you don't get hit for a long time, that first hit kind of wakes you up like, okay, here we go. And it gets you ready for week one of the NFL season. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if I agree with Shanahan sticking with him for so long. Yeah. I think Kyle said maybe one to two drives, and he plays three, and maybe you want to see something specific out of him, but after that second drive where he kind of gives up on the scramble and was like, yeah, whatever, you know, this doesn't matter to me. It's like, okay, he's checked out Kyle. Like, let's go to the backups. And I don't know. It was just like a weird thing with Kyle. Like, again, when you don't have Christian, don't have Debo or Juwan Jennings and Juszczyk and Kittle, it's like, if those guys aren't playing, why is your franchise quarterback, the most important position on the field, playing out there with backup left tackles and backup centers and backup right tackles? Like, that's not the person you want to put out there without some bubble wrap on. And Purdy was taking his lumps, and it's like, I can't help but like cringe and like, oh my goodness, like one hit is all it takes and the season's over. Get him out of there, Kyle.
Yeah, the one moment where I was scared, and you know, if you were worried about Brock Purdy after taking these hits, three drives didn't look good, give us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. It's Mark Randy Sterling Bennett with you here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. The one play where I was legitimately scared for a second, Sterling, it was the second drive where Kyle Shanahan calls a play-action boot, a naked boot, which essentially means Brock Purdy fakes the handoff. His back is to the side of the field where he's going to turn and run to. So if there's a free edge rusher, a free blitzer coming from that side of the field, Brock Purdy is going to spin and run right into it, and he has no ability to do anything about it. It's a dangerous, dangerous play if you don't block it up and scheme it up correctly. The Niners, guess what? They didn't block it up and they didn't scheme it up correctly. There was a free rusher on him. Now, Purdy, and I think an area of his game that's actually very underrated is his ability to kind of make defenders like that miss, and he did, and he extended the play and then ran all the way back over to the right. I think that was the play where he ultimately just kind of gave himself up and ran out of bounds. But that was the moment when you saw the naked boot, and you see the free rusher coming from his backside, and you're, oh my God, he's going to get lit up here. He's not going to see it. He's going to fumble the ball. He might get hurt, but he avoided the hit, and that was the worst of it there. But yeah, I was worried in that moment. I think he took three total hits in his three drives. Nothing terribly vicious. One of them was just more of a push than a hit. But yeah, you want to avoid that as much as you can. And he didn't look terribly good offensively in those other drives as well. But you look at some of the other quarterback plays, Sterling, and Josh Dobbs, I mean, he was kind of balling out. I mean, he had a really nice moment to end the first half. He used his legs over and over and over again. Maybe you think he uses his legs a little bit too much. It's kind of what you get with Josh Dobbs. But he had some nice moments, and after playing the second half last week, being the second quarterback off the bench, and meaningfully playing behind Brandon Allen, he played ahead of Brandon Allen this week and looked pretty darn good. And maybe he's got a leg up now on that QB2 spot because, of course, despite Purdy's struggles, if we want to call it that, through the first quarter, there's no quarterback controversy here. But Josh Dobbs looking pretty good, and he might be settling into a QB2 role with the 49ers.
And let's clarify for Jason on the YouTube chat. No one's talking about Purdy in a negative way. It's simply just, don't take hits. Please, stay on the field, be healthy.
Please,
and
yes.
No one cares if Brock Purdy struggles. He was almost the MVP last year. He's going to be fine. They're going to be good, and he'll be great again. But Joshua Dobbs tonight was, I think, the player of the game. There's, of course, other players like Jacob Cowing, and if you want to go on the defensive side, Renardo Green had a really nice game. But Joshua Dobbs was not just the pastronaut. He was leading this offense to new planets and new heights out there with backup receivers and running backs. He was awesome. 12 for 21, 133 yards, his second rushing touchdown of the preseason. He's showing things that Brandon Allen just can't do unless he's pump-faking guys out of their shoes in the second half. But Joshua Dobbs was, I don't want to say he put the nail in the coffin to the quarterback two job in Brandon Allen's case, but Joshua Dobbs has just been, I wouldn't say surprising. It's just been like, if we can have that as a backup, in case Brock goes down one game, two games, we can survive a Brock Purdy-less week or two if Joshua Dobbs is leading the way. He was really solid for back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good. I mean, his numbers, he finishes playing one quarter. He played the second quarter, and it was the Niners' best quarter offensively. 12 for 21. The fact that he threw the ball 21 times in a single quarter, kind of crazy. 21 pass attempts. He completed 12 of them for 133 yards. Did not throw for a touchdown. Did not throw an interception. Did run for that touchdown on 4th and 1 on the final play. I guess the second to last play of the second quarter. He scored with 1 second left. Three rushes for 25 yards and that one touchdown. And the offense as a whole in that second quarter with Dobbs leading the way, 28 plays, 173 yards. That's about 6 yards per play for the 49ers. led by Josh Dobbs. Compare that, Sterling, with what Brock Purdy did in his quarter in his three drives. Purdy 2 for 6, 11 yards, and the offense in those three drives, 12 yards, 11 plays. Josh Dobbs had a much better day than Brock Purdy, Sterling. We're talking about a QB controversy on our hands, right?
I can't wait to see Nick Wright tomorrow morning on Fox Sports being like, look, Brock Purdy's training camp interceptions and Joshua Dobbs out there with legs looking like, I don't know, Roger Craig out there scoring touchdowns. You better watch out in San Francisco. But no, Joshua Dobbs. And the thing about Dobbs is he's a big guy. He's massive and he moves so fluidly.
He's athletic, yeah.
He's unafraid to take his hits and with him, he just brings something else to that quarterback room. And while, yes, Brock is a whole different beast, Brandon Allen's much more of your prototypical backup quarterback. He'll stay within the scheme of the offense that Shanahan calls, whereas Joshua Dobbs is much more of a, if things get off schedule, if I have to make my own magic here, I can do that. And I'm hoping that Kyle Shanahan is leaning towards Joshua Dobbs. This guy beat the Dallas Cowboys last year with the Cardinals. I would like to think he can beat a better team than the Cowboys, or at least the Cowboys again, if he has to play with the San Francisco 49ers offense. But he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and the way he extends plays, he's looking to throw. Yes, he'll run. Yes, he'll go for the touchdown. Yes, he'll get 5 extra yards here or there. But when he runs, he's looking to make the better throw downfield. And also, he's taking deep shots. Jacob Cowing, 38 yards, almost touchdown pass. Yeah. Like, Joshua Dobbs is doing things that Brandon Allen's not doing. And he looks way more comfortable despite being in the offense for, I don't know, 1/8 of the time than Brandon Allen. Yeah. Allen had all last year. Joshua Dobbs looks head and shoulders above him.
Yeah. No, he does. A couple of things. I still have the KTVU Channel 2 on here in the studio where the game was on earlier, and they're going through, you know, their post-game show, and they have their lower third, that what they're discussing, and they say, Brock Purdy struggles. Brock Purdy struggles is what KTVU says, and I just got a push notification from the ESPN app. The ESPN app says, Josh Dobbs sends 49ers fans into a frenzy with a sweet broken tackle for a score. Which headline, Sterling, is more fair? Brock Purdy struggles or Josh Dobbs sends Niner fans into a frenzy? Because both seem a little bit aggressive to me.
Oh, I was definitely in a frenzy on my couch trying to hold my sunburn back like, yes, oh, God. But like,
please,
yes, Joshua Dobbs.
It was a 4th-and-1 read option. Come on.
Hey. First off, when is Kyle Shanahan ever calling 4th-down read options with 1 second left before halftime? It's a brand new Kyle. He's challenging plays left and right now. One last week,
oh,
one today.
God, the challenge. What are you doing? First of all, that was so clearly the wrong decision. Why did you? He made a challenge in the first quarter of a preseason game that he had no chance of getting overturned. What is he doing? And it's
Shanahan
a preseason game.
He said, I'm a new man. We're trying new things. We're going from the opening kickoff to the sound of the final buzzer. We're challenging plays in the first. We're doing fourth, you know, second half read options with 1 second left on the clock. We're going for it all. And which is so funny because they'll never do that in the regular season. Never. They'll never call that again. It'll be, all right, come on, Jake, get out there. Or he'll give it to Christian McCaffrey. And I can almost predict this. The odds Kyle Shanahan goes for it on fourth down, with 1 second left before halftime is like 0.1%. He wants the guaranteed points 99% of the time, even with a better quarterback and running back and two all-pro receivers and an all-pro tight end. He'll take those 3 points gladly.
The only time I can remember him doing not what you're talking about and actually going for it was, what season was this? This would have been the 2021 season when Jimmy Garoppolo was still the starter, but it was Trey Lance's rookie season. When they were 1-1, I think, into week 3, Sunday night game against the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the end of the first half, and the offense was terrible. I don't think they had even scored up to that point. Maybe they had 3 points. Certainly hadn't scored a touchdown yet. The offense was stuck in the mud all first half. And I don't know if it was 4th-and-1. It might have been 4th-and-goal from like the 2 or the 3. But they had time for one final play. It was either kick the field goal or go for it on 4th down. It might not have even been 4th down, but essentially it was because there's only time for one play. And he brings in Trey Lance. He brings in Trey Lance and takes out Jimmy Garoppolo for that one play, and Trey Lance just runs left, blocked in front of him by Trent Williams. They get the touchdown. That's the only other time I can remember Kyle Shanahan going forward in a moment like that. But you're right. It seems unlikely that if it was a regular season game, he would have made that decision. I thought it was also funny because the Fox crew, the Fox broadcast, Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, by the way, growing out the hair. He's got the flow randomly now. It doesn't look great, Mark. But the Fox crew was like, oh, yeah, you got plenty of time to kick the field goal. But it's fourth and one in a preseason game at the end of the first half. This is just situational football. Go for it. But it is kind of what frustrates me about Kyle Shanahan. And I think where he is... like, he is at par or under par, like, in every single category of play calling and decision making, I think, as a head coach in the NFL, across the board when compared to most other head coaches. And when I say at par or better than par, like, he's ahead of the game. Like, he generally is better
that
than
means
everybody
he's really
else.
Good.
He's really good. But the one time where he's consistently bogeying and double bogeying and triple bogeying is his aggressiveness on fourth downs. Sometimes it comes back to bite you. Dan Campbell, NFC Championship game on line one. But it's where the NFL is going. I'm at a situation, Sterling, especially when you have like Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and George Kittle. If it's fourth and three or less, I almost want my team to go for it every single time. That's how confident I am in my skill position guys being able to gain me 3, 2, or 1 yards. Shanahan hasn't really been that aggressive, and I know I'm picking at hairs here. I know it's a preseason game, and he actually did it today. But I think you're right. The only reason that he did it today was because it was a preseason game, and the stakes really didn't matter. Generally, when the stakes matter, he tends to play it safe, play it conservative, take the 3 points, as opposed to maybe trying to put the nail in the coffin and win the game earlier than late in the fourth quarter. So that's one area where if I'm a little frustrated by Shanahan as a whole, this isn't a today reaction, but as a whole, it's aggressiveness on fourth downs.
Well, funny enough, that touchdown is the difference in the game. If they don't score the touchdown, the game is, what, 9-10, and they lose? But
they could have kicked the field goal, and it would have been 12-10.
Right, right. Right. But I hope Kyle, for whatever it's worth, even if it is the preseason, part of me is like, look at what Dan Campbell did. Yeah, it kind of came back to bite him in the butt, but whatever. If Josh Reynolds doesn't drop two passes, you're not even playing the Chiefs at all in February. So part of me hopes that he takes his preseason risks over into the regular season. What do you have to lose? Like, you might as well try it against the Jets week one and do it against whoever you are in the playoffs if you make it that far. Like, if you want, I've always said this, and it's been a long time comment. Like, you got to risk it to get the biscuit, brother. I want biscuits, man. I want the Texas Roadhouse biscuits, please. They're delicious. Give me those. So take some more risks, and hopefully we can get in the end zone more and win some more games. But you brought up Trent Williams earlier. Does Jalen Moore just bother you so much to a point of you never, ever, ever want to see him out there? He was terrible tonight. And if we have to watch him, if the Niners don't get the Trent Williams situation taken care of in the next couple weeks, he's not there week one, I am mortified for Brock Purdy. Mortified.
Yeah, if Jalen Moore is taking meaningful snaps this year, and especially if it's not because of injury, if it's because of contracts, the Niners have a disaster on their hands. Like, it's one thing if it's injuries, and those are unavoidable, and, you know, maybe you blame, like, so many people blamed Kyle Shanahan for Trey Lance's injuries. Kind of the lunatic fringe, in my opinion. But if it is injury-related, okay, it's fine, whatever. Maybe you could be upset that there wasn't a little bit more resources and energy and time spent addressing offensive line in general, and that's fair. But if it's injury-related, okay, what are you going to do? But if it is, you're right. Contractually related absence from Trent Williams or really any other offensive lineman, not that there's any other offensive lineman contract situation that's going to cause them to miss time, but if Trent Williams misses regular season games, Sterling, because of his contract issue, and you have Jalen Moore playing left tackle, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. The Niners very well could still win and beat the Jets potentially because they have so many good players elsewhere and whatever, but you're running a major, major risk because you're right. Jalen Moore, he struggled today, and later on we'll go through like stock up, stock down, winners from preseason week number two, losers from preseason week number two, who took a step towards winning a roster spot, who maybe lost a roster spot. We'll go through all of that. Sterling, I can imagine Jalen Moore might be near the top of your list in terms of players who he's going to make the roster because they just don't have a lot of other offensive linemen. But in terms of your confidence level in them delivering if they get snaps, I imagine Jalen Moore took a step back in that regard today.
Jalen Moore is what Madden thinks left tackles play like, where they just stand there and they don't move and they let the edge rusher go right by them. And you're like, what just happened? Like, why was there no blocking? Like, how did the edge rusher get right by you? There was a play in this game where Jalen Moore, the ball is hiked, and he's backing up. He's trying to get in position, and the guy runs right around him. And it's like, Jalen Moore, how are you an NFL left tackle allowing edge rushers, mainly backups, mind you, to run right around you to get to your quarterback? Like, I get there's nobody else. The Niners don't want to retain Brandon Parker or Chris Hubbard. Those are swing tackle, right tackle players, and we're comfortable there. Jalen Moore is all you got at left tackle behind Trent Williams. And I'm not going to say it's just this void of nothingness there, but and he's played much better than this in the past, but this is his preseason debut. He didn't play last week because he was sick.
Yep.
This was his first real snaps of preseason. You hope maybe next week it's better, but from what we've seen so far, it's ugly. It's ugly. It is the ugly duckling of the offensive line that has Jake Brendel and Aaron Banks and Dominic Pooney and Jarrett Kingston, a seventh or sixth round picks out there playing better than Jalen Moore, who's been here for like 3 or 4 years. Trent Williams, they gotta get this thing taken care of. They have to.
And I think what we've seen from Jalen Moore, if the Niners were maybe a little hesitant to bend to Trent Williams' wishes, Jalen Moore's performance today maybe makes them a little more willing to do that. Like, if we're talking about a winner from today, it might be Trent Williams, just because the Niners know, they already knew, but they have confirmation that they do not have anywhere near a solution behind Trent Williams if he were to miss time. So Trent Williams, maybe he's a winner from today. All right, let's go out to the phone lines here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you. You can give us a call, shoot us a text, join us on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union, 888-957-9570. Up first is Oliver. Oliver's out in Philly. Oliver, I hope you're a Niner fan standing tall out there in Philadelphia. You're on Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. What'd you think of Brock Purdy and company tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm an NFL fan. I am certainly not a Niner fan. I apologize. You know, you mentioned I'm from Philadelphia. I'm an Eagles fan, E-O-G-L-E-S.
Uh-oh.
Eagles, you know what I mean? And that's okay. We'll talk about the Niners for a minute because, you know, no one in San Francisco is interested in probably the Eagles. So what my take was from Brock Purdy tonight, and what my take kind of was in the last couple of years in talking about Brock Purdy, is they got to give him more opportunities. I do believe that. I do think Kyle Shanahan and this offense, they need to put more, not less, more on Brock Purdy, and they need to give the offense to Brock Purdy. They need to open it up. They need to get him slinging the football down the field, screen passes, middle passes, whatever it may be, to get this offensive flowing, because we all know Brock Purdy can sling the football. We all know Brock Purdy can move. We all can see the development in Brock Purdy. So my question to you would be, how do we get Brock Purdy, whether it be from a 49ers fan, an Eagles fan, an NFL fan standpoint, how do we get Brock Purdy to the next level?
Appreciate the call, Oliver, and we can get into that on the other side. I mean, it's an interesting question. I think the 49ers, as an offense, I think maybe we think of this a little bit more from a skill position, a wide receiver, tight end, and a running back viewpoint. We think of it as an offense that spreads the wealth around, and no one is going to be you know, the featured guy every single week because you have so many mouths to feed. I'm not so sure that Purdy needs more opportunity, but he also doesn't need to do maybe as much as other quarterbacks around the league need to do, like, say, a Josh Allen, because he's got so many, Brock Purdy does, so many weapons around him. But we can get into that coming up on the other side. We got plenty more to get into. I know Sterling is upset by a particular offensive lineman, Jalen Moore. I think he's thrilled, because I am. And if I'm thrilled by offensive line play, Sterling is probably overjoyed, and that's rookie Dominic Pooney. We can get into him coming up on the other side as well. We got plenty more to dive into. We're with you until 10 o'clock tonight here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. We welcome your calls, your text, 888-957-9570. More coming up next. It's Overtime here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
That was Adam Amin on Fox calling Josh Dobbs' one-yard touchdown run to close the first half. It was a read option, faked the handoff, kept it himself, broke one weak tackle, used his offhand to keep him on balance, stay on his feet, and he dove into the end zone to give the Niners a lead there to close the first half. A big moment there for the 49ers on offense, and as Sterling pointed out earlier, maybe the reason why they ended up winning the football game was that play right there. Ultimately, wins and losses in the preseason to despite what Sterling says, do not matter all that much. They don't matter that much, but that was a fun moment.
It builds character.
It does. And, I mean, obviously, you would like to win as opposed to lose, but no one is going to lose any sleep over a loss in the preseason. But build good habits. You never know. You get used to the feeling of winning, and it could help you out in the regular season. But listening to that highlight and watching Josh Dobbs today, Sterling, I think we can both agree that he took a step towards winning the QB2 battle. Maybe he had already taken a step prior to today because he played ahead of Brandon Allen. Maybe this was the plan by Kyle Shanahan all along because Allen played ahead of Dobbs last week, and he wanted to make sure both players got an opportunity to play ahead of the other through two games. But he took another step forward into that potential role tonight. But I got a question for you and for all of our listeners out there, 888-957-9570. What exactly do you want out of your backup quarterback? Because it's not always necessarily potentially, I don't know, the player who you think can go out there and score you the most points. Maybe you try to be a little bit more safe. You want to avoid the disaster plays. You want to avoid the turnovers. And someone who's maybe a little bit more, I don't know if boring is the right word, but the prototypical quarterback, maybe someone who's a little less likely to turn the ball over, a little less likely to take some sacks, a little less likely to have some wild plays. And while you look at Josh Dobbs, Sterling, and everything that he's done positively, it's fun, it's exciting, it's different. He's nothing like Brandon Allen, who's a prototypical pocket passer, which at times can be a good thing, at times can be a bad thing. But you're probably more likely to get some peaks and valleys with Josh Dobbs than you are with Brandon Allen. You're probably going to get, at his best, better than Brandon Allen, but at his worst, you're probably going to see some head-scratching plays, some turnovers, some fumbles, some plays where he's trying to extend with his legs and he gets sacked, he loses the ball, or whatever the case is. I'm not saying Brandon Allen is a better quarterback and that he should be QB2, but I'm just saying the QB2 question isn't always about who's been playing the best. Sometimes it's about the style of the quarterback and Brandon Allen's safeness, which again, I don't mean entirely as a compliment. Sometimes that is what someone like Kyle Shanahan might prefer out of his QB2 because he wants to avoid the back-breaking plays if you are in a situation where you have to go to your backup quarterback, and maybe that's a little bit more up Brandon Allen's alley. But there's no debating that Josh Dobbs has been more impressive so far through two preseason games.
I would take your question and flip it and say, what does a backup quarterback actually do? They usually come in when a quarterback gets injured. That usually happens in the middle of a game, not during the middle of the week. True. If you are Kyle Shanahan, you probably want a quarterback that can come in and just run the offense you want them to run. Now, it depends on the situation. Are you trying to win a game? Trying to survive a game, right? I think Brandon Allen is a quarterback that could come in the middle of a game if Brock Purdy gets hurt and keep you going a little bit. Not going to be a game changer, not going to be a playmaker, but he'll keep you there, either keep you close or keep you just ahead. He'll give it to CMC. He'll feed Debo in the backfield. I hate to say this, but like a lesser Jimmy Garoppolo. Just game manage me. Game manage me to victory, right? Whereas Joshua Dobbs is more of that quarterback you want to bring in before the week starts, let him get all the reps leading into Sunday or Monday, and then let him play. I think if Brock Purdy, by any chance, hope it doesn't happen, gets hurt, I would want to play Brandon Allen. He'll come in, do exactly what Kyle wants him to do. He'll be that vanilla quarterback and run the scheme how Kyle says. He's not going to complain. He's not going to play hero ball. He'll just do whatever Shanahan wants. Whereas if Brock is out for an elongated period of time, that's where I'm looking at Joshua Dobbs. Okay, you are going to be a playmaker. We can scheme around you. We can scheme to your strengths and scheme against your weaknesses. We can also figure out how to utilize your legs, whereas Brandon Allen's going to be kind of a stick in the mud in the pocket. Now, within that, Joshua Dobbs today did bail from a clean pocket and almost got sacked. He spun right into an yes, edge rusher, and it was like, whoa, what are you doing, buddy? But
he got out of it. I mean, he's athletic enough.
You're right, he is. And he's big enough to take a hit and keep going. But I think that Joshua Dobbs, I think he deserves to be quarterback too. He has, you know, fully guaranteed contract, given the most money. Mm. But I think Shanahan feels safer playing Brandon Allen There's like, don't forget, for what it's worth, and it may be worth nothing, Shanahan felt comfortable enough trading Trey Lance for a fourth round pick to keep Brandon Allen. I think that while he's not going to trade Joshua Dobbs, goes into his comfortability with him even in this quarterback competition this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Josh Dobbs today, 12 for 21, 133 yards, no touchdowns, no turnovers. Did rush for one touchdown, though. It was the highlight you just heard coming into this segment, courtesy of Fox, Adam Amin on the call. Brandon Allen, 7 for 10, 36 yards. So it was a lot of dink and dunk, not much from Brandon Allen deeper down the field. No touchdowns, no interceptions. The offense with Brandon Allen, 13 plays, 69 yards, a little more than 5 yards per play. Josh Dobbs' offense, 28 plays, 173 yards, so a little more than 6 yards per play. So the offense more efficient by about a full yard more per play with Josh Dobbs, and he was a little bit more impressive spreading the ball around and throwing more than just checkdowns and simple crossing patterns and slants and drag routes. I mean, the prettiest throw of the night, actually one of them was by Brandon Allen. It was just off the fingertips of Ronnie Bell on the left sideline. That was a nice moment in this game. Unfortunately, it goes down as an incompletion for Brandon Allen. But the prettiest completion of the day for Niners quarterback Sterling, no doubt it was Josh Dobbs late in the first half down the right sideline to Jacob Cowing. For a really, really nice gain. Jacob Cowing, the fourth round pick out of Arizona, did not play last week against the Titans, and he was one of the major winners of today. He goes 4 catches for 51 yards, that 38-yard completion down the right sideline that set up the touchdown at the end of the first half. That was a beautiful throw by Josh Dobbs. It was a great catch by Jacob Cowing and Sterling. It was just one of many nice moments for Jacob Cowing tonight. I'm sure you agree with me in this. It was nice to see a rookie receiver out there because neither Cowing or Pearsall played week one of the preseason. Pearsall did not play again tonight, dealing with another injury, and that's unfortunate. We can talk about that a little bit more later, but at least we got to see Jacob Cowing, and we saw his speed on display really all night long. You see the ways in which he can be used deeper down the field on crossing patterns, kind of in some gadget place. He had one end around. He is a guy that Shanahan can utilize in a number of different ways, and we got our first taste of that tonight. Jacob Cowing was very, very nice. He had a very good game.
Other than Dominic Pooney, the defense in the 2024 draft class has kind of taken the spotlight.
Yep.
Whether it's Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, Tate Bethune, they have been everyone's talking points, you know, whether it's in the bar or at work the next day. Did you see that guy? Where now it's, okay, now it's the offense's turn, and according to Kyle Shanahan, we're going to get back Pearsall hopefully this week. He's day-to-day. And Isaac Grendo should be back this week, too. So
that's big.
We are going to start seeing the offensive side of that 2024 draft class and hopefully see the playmakers we brought in this year. And again, you hope the IE situation's over with and you hope the Trent Williams things take care of itself. But, you know, Cowing, despite being 5'9", he's a playmaker. He can do the things that Debo does, although not to Debo's level, but end-arounds, kick returns, he'll fight through contact, he'll go deep downfield, and ultimately, you know, I get you have Juwan Jennings and you have Debo here for the next two seasons, and you have Pearsall. You know, Cowing, he might see the ball a little more than Pearsall will. He's going to be likely on kick returns and punt returns this year, whereas Pearsall will probably be that fourth receiver. You know, Cowing does have an opportunity to make a splash likely earlier than Pearsall does, even despite the health injury or the health issues that Pearsall has. And Cowing's just, go back to his play at Arizona. A five-year player, he's a pro, he's smart, he's small, but he's aggressive, he's feisty. I think despite his stature, he will fit in with Juwan Jennings and being this guy who just wants to destroy somebody. Again, he's really tiny. He's Cody Schrader size, but playing receiver. But he's just a baller. And sometimes you can tell when a player is a baller. Dante Pettis, not a baller.
He's had more preseason touchdowns. I think he had 2 touchdowns yesterday. All he does is score preseason touchdowns. Put some respect on his name.
doing the whole cat meow meow in the end zone thing. It's not going to work. But
catching
but
some
Cowan
passes from Caleb
baller.
Williams right now,
hey,
in the preseason.
He's the next Mahomes. Okay, you better watch out.
I mean, he's been good, no doubt. But
but I think Cowan can be a playmaker in this offense, and I think Kyle Shanahan definitely has found something with him where it may not be all the time, maybe sporadic, but Cowan gives you a boost off the bench you didn't have last year or even the last 3 years. He just adds you, he raises the level of your receiver room to a point of having another bench playmaker, which you give Kyle Shanahan that, it's going to be really fun to see.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's not pretend as if every time he touched the ball or every single play he made on the field was a positive one. He had a number of positive plays. The 38-yard reception down the right sideline had a nice 19-yard gain on an end-around. I think he's probably the name you're hearing more than anyone else coming out of this game, Jacob Cowan. He looked great. He was awesome. He's explosive. He's fast, showing off that 4-3 speed. Now, we got to give both sides. He had a pretty painful holding penalty that took away like a nice gain by Cody Schrader on a run to the left side. That was a rough one. And then he also caught a quick little wide receiver screen on the left side, and it was blown up immediately. He tried to then reverse field and then kind of kept going backwards and lost more yards. Exactly. He'll quickly learn, and this is the time to learn it. He'll quickly learn this is not the Pac-12 anymore. You're not trying to run around Arizona State defenders. You're not trying to run around Washington State defenders. No offense to the Sun Devils or the Cougars. You're trying to run around NFL defenders, and you can't do that at this level. Even if you have 4-3 speed, everyone is quick. Everyone can keep up with you. Maybe if you get out in the open field, you can run past them. But if you're trying to reverse field in the NFL, unless you're Tyreek Hill, it's probably not going to work for you. So that did not work. Yeah, shout out Ken. Ken, the Dolphins fan, made eye contact with me when I said Tyreek Hill. Congratulations, you have the fastest man in the NFL. I wish he was a Niner. Anyway. Jake McCowan made a couple of mistakes tonight, but for the most part, Sterling, he had a very impactful and a positive way game. And those moments, like the trying to reverse field, is something you try once or twice, and then you quickly learn you can't do that anymore. Instead of losing 5 yards, maybe you take your loss of one, and that's something that he needs to learn, and today was a step in that direction as well. These are all positive things, like the result on the field in that one particular moment was not good, a loss of five, but these are all development steps that you have to take for a young guy who's been used to just running around everybody every time he's had the football at any level of football that he's ever played. It's different at this level, and he will learn that, and today was a step in that right direction. So, I'm with you. Jacob Cowling is a guy we could see have an impact on this team potentially sooner than Ricky Pearsall, because he's going to play special teams and he might be able to come in for, you know, specific hand-picked moments by Shanahan where, oh, we're going to get Cowling the ball here because we know he has the skill set to make this kind of play work. So I'm with you. Cowling, very, very positive today. And honestly, Sterling, I mean, you look at some of the other wide receivers that are fighting for roster spots right now.
Terrible.
Very, very bad. So Jacob Cowling overall, like, stock up, and almost the entire rest of the room stock down. So he created a little bit of space. Now, he was always going to make the roster, but in terms of guys that you look at that could have an impact on this team, Cowling took a major step forward, not just for himself, but kind of put a little bit of distance between himself and some other names.
And it's his first NFL action ever.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He didn't play last week. This was his NFL debut, if you will. And if I told you a fourth-round pick that was likely going to be the fifth or sixth receiver on the depth chart, be a special teamer primarily, touched the ball a total of 5 times, had 70 yards, and almost caught a touchdown pass. That's really good.
Yep.
That's what you want to see from Ricky Pearsall. That's what you want first-round picks to do. And Cowan was doing it against starters against the Saints, who, again, held a Niners starting offense, if you will, I guess three of them, being Aaron, not even Aaron Banks, but Pearsall, Pooney, and McKibbitz, basically, to 0 points. So, it's a stellar start. And, you know, I don't think he needed to jump up that high to make the roster or have his stock bump up too much, but it does help your stock when players like Ronnie Bell and Trent Taylor and Tay Martin look like practice squad players. And it's no disrespect, but when you want to win, when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, injuries inevitably happen. You have to have people come behind that can pick up the pieces. And Ronnie Bell was on punt returns last year. Fumbled twice, got benched, didn't play anymore. You have players like Tay Martin, who's battled injuries off and on his entire, you know, few years of the beginning of his career. He hasn't done much. Then Trent Taylor, who I called a basket last week because he doesn't give you much from a playmaking perspective.
He'll catch the ball and then just, that's it.
There was a play today for Trent Taylor where he caught, it may have been a screen pass, and he has 5 yards of wide open space to his right.
Yep.
No one's over there, no defenders, and instead of running towards the outside, he tries to cut inside to the other 11 defenders, the only 11 defenders on the field, but instead of missing them, runs right into the back of his blocker. And you're like, Trent, I know you're a little older, maybe you need some LASIK. Maybe the eyes are gone. But, like, you know what you do? You run to the open field. Give me at least a couple yards. You could have had 7. You got us maybe 2. And whereas Cowan, yeah, maybe lost a couple yards here or there on the screen pass he caught, but he made 4 guys miss en route to losing a couple yards. He's pulling a Marion Barber, makes 13 guys miss, and then gets 1 yard to gain. And Joshua Dobbs did the exact same thing today. Whereas Trent Taylor and Ronnie Bell dropped a handful of passes, arguably the best pass of the game from Brandon Allen.
Yep.
Ronnie Bell dropped it. And just Danny Gray, who I don't know who it was, I won't name the outlet, put on Twitter, what a catch by Danny Gray.
Oh,
he dropped
please.
It, then caught it. It's like,
that's
an interception. It's not a good play.
Yeah.
I like Danny. And Danny, of all the receivers in the room, former third round pick, needed an amazing day, needed to prove himself today. He didn't. Like, Danny Gray is getting cut. He is done. He's another third round pick bust in San Francisco. That said, he'll probably be in Kansas City this year and catch a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Just saying. It's probably going to happen.
Too soon. Too soon. Yeah, third-round pick in 2022. So we're looking at 2 years ago. He was drafted out of SMU, and I'm with you. I think this was the nail in the coffin for Danny Gray and the 49ers. He's not making this roster. You're in an environment in the preseason where you know for you it's do or die. Like, it is do or die. And you're anonymous in a preseason game against a lot of backups. You're playing basically the entire game because the coaching staff is trying to see what you have. Like, they're giving you every opportunity against some starters in the first half, fair, against a lot of, like, all backups in the second half, and third stringers and fourth stringers that are trying to make the Saints roster. And you're anonymous aside from one catch for 13 yards that you mentioned earlier was, like, a catch, sure, ultimately, in the scorebook, in the stat sheet, it's a catch. It was a pass that he had to jump for, but it hits him straight in the hands. He's not moving. He's still and jumps for it. It's an easy catch. Every person in the NFL, I don't care if you're a running back, if you're a defensive back, if you're a tight end, if you're a wide receiver, you make that catch 100 times out of 100. And he made the catch, but not first, before he tipped it up in the air. And if there's anyone within 5 yards of him, they're picking it off, and it's going the other way. That was a catch, sure, but it was not a good rep for Danny Gray. And that was your only contribution to the box score in a do-or-die environment. This is not pile on the kid and say he's a bad football player. No, this is not that. This is simply saying Danny Gray has no business making this roster. No business making this roster. I can say the same thing for Trent Taylor. You're right. I mean, he's a veteran, and he's got a leg up in terms of, I don't
vibes.
Know.
That's it. Just vibes.
And friendship. Like, he's he's George Kittle's best friend, apparently. And obviously, he's been on this team before. He knows Kyle Shanahan and a lot of the coaching staff. He has a leg up there in terms of his relationships on this team. There's no doubt about it. But Trent Taylor is not one of the 5 or 6 best receivers currently on this 49er team. And Danny Gray certainly isn't either. I'd be surprised if either of these guys make this roster, Sterling. And today might have been the final nail in the coffin for both. But specifically Danny Gray, it's sad because I was high on him coming out of SMU, third round pick. The Niners have made somewhat of a habit of striking out on some of these early picks the last handful of years, and Danny Gray might be another one to throw into that category.
It just shows you that speed doesn't always translate to the NFL, where whether it's John Ross, Dante Pettis,
yep.
Danny Gray, like you can be the fastest guy at SMU, and Danny Gray was. And I don't know what happened in between his college, his final year at SMU, coming into the NFL, because he popped onto the scene. Right, the go ball against the Packers. Oh, here comes Danny Gray. It's going to be great. And Shanahan was trying to get him somewhat involved his rookie season. Then Jimmy comes back in as a quarterback. And then I get that the fit's not exactly there with the quarterback and play style you want from Danny Gray. But it's not like Gray's ever had his footing. Ever. He's been hurt in the doghouse, inconsistent hands. I mean, ultimately, you're looking at Jacob Cowling and Pearsall, and it's like, people even forget Danny Gray's on this team. He's a third-round pick. How do you forget a third-round pick's on your team two years ago?
It's a preseason game, and he's anonymous. Like, I don't know what other sign you need. Like, the dude couldn't even introduce himself to everyone in a preseason game. Like, yeah. I don't know what more we need to know.
Nothing. And that's a thing. And I think I told you last week that despite being the most crowded room, the receiver position might be the most straightforward competition. It's the big guns, the two draft picks, and the vet, Chris Conley. Everybody else, no. Yeah. Ronnie Bell's probably a practice squad player because he can do punts and maybe fill in here or there. He likes to block. He's a willing blocker. The issue is, when Kyle wants to say, no block, no rock, and Bell says, okay, I can block, when you pass him the rock, he drops it. It's like, if you can't hold on to the rock, then it's not worth keeping you. And look, some of these guys are young. They can go elsewhere and flourish. I hope they do. I will just say this. For the lack of receiver play, for the lack of getting open for the quarterbacks today, like, that was a big deal for Brock. Nobody was open. Nobody could get open.
Yeah.
Because they're getting locked down by the Saints starters or second stringers because these guys can't separate despite having 4-3 speed. I am so thankful that when you get away from the receivers and the tight ends and you move inward to the offensive line, Dominic Pooney is just stellar.
Yes.
The right guard position has been a black hole for the last few years. Whether it's Brunskill, Person, Feliciano, Burford, and there's been ups and downs in there.
Person. Oh.
But there was a play today, and you can probably dive into it a little later, but Dominic Pooney just looks like he belongs.
He looks like an NFL guard. If you picked out the same play that I picked out, because there was one moment that I saw, and I just, the football nerd in me came out, and it was amazing, Sterling. If we picked the same play, he was awesome.
Dominic Pooney looks like not just a starting caliber player, but a starting caliber player in year one of his first preseason as a third round pick. Like, he makes you forget about, oh, Spencer Burford's here. He played games for us the last two seasons. Oh, John Feliciano started the last couple years. Dominic Pooney just looks like a mauling, high intellectual guard, and you're like, do we finally find the missing piece?
Yeah.
Because he looks amazing.
High intellectual. That's a great way to put it. It just seems like the game comes naturally to him. He picks it up easy. He knows where to be. He knows what to look for. He's got good footwork. He's a natural. And it's easy to see that. You could see it in any sport. I think it's maybe easiest to see in basketball when there's a natural basketball player and they move the right way. They're smooth in their movements and they're always in the right spot on the floor and they make crisp and on-time passes. It's maybe not as easy to see in football and specifically like line play, but you watch Dominic Pooney for a handful of reps and you'll see it. Like, it's natural to him, and we can get into that coming up on the other side. I want you to tell me the play that you circled for him, because I had one as well that I was going to nerd out about coming up on the other side. We can get into that. A lot more to get into. Positives, some negatives, overall stock up, stock down for some players. We've gone through a lot of them already, but we can circle back there, and we're always here to take your calls and react to your text. One to react to really quick from the 650, Shanahan didn't call the plays tonight. The touchdown run on fourth and one wasn't his call. It was his call. He called plays in the first half. He handed it over to Kubiak in the second half. By the way, we had Kubiak versus Kubiak. New offensive coordinator for the Saints, a Kubiak, a former Niner, offensive coach, and now the Niners play caller in the second half of this game was also another Kubiak. So a fun moment in this preseason game as well. But we can get into all that and more. 888-957-9570 as overtime continues. We've got 1 hour left. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. More coming up on the other side here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.